Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Club Deck Corner here on Club at 22, the Rangers podcast. This week, a D9 double sets up an Old Firm Scottish Cup final, and it's the first in over two decades. I am Scott Carney, and joining me for what promises to be a slightly more positive episode than maybe the previous ones have been. First off is Ryan Haymarch. Ryan, how are you, mate?
I am good, mate. How are you? I feel as if I've not seen you for ages. I didn't see you on Friday, did I, when I was back, so...
Old Firm, since the last time we've seen in person, I think. You went to New York after that.
I went to New York the day after it. So I feel as if I've not been a pod with you for a while, and obviously the one we did at Viceroy didn't come across great because of the technical difficulties we had. So, yes, look forward to this, mate. Dissect things, and you say, as you said, a bit more positive tonight than it was on Friday. I'd certainly brought the tone down, as always do, and Rangers aren't winning, but... it's off the back of your win, so a positive podcast tonight, I'm sure.
It's okay, mate. You can do what you want when the boss has a night off, and I very much did have a night off on Friday, mate. So, yes, that is fine. And I listened to it back, and I always say, mate, I'll never criticise people for having their own opinions on Rangers. It's what we're all about. I like everybody to be honest. I really do. And also joining us is Jamie McKay. Jamie, how are you?
Good to see you, boys. Obviously, Rangers back in business again with a win on Sunday, and I'm sure we'll get onto it, but that is the main man, 9 out of 10, only one more goal to go to the magical 10.
Less than two minutes.
He's delighted with himself. Look at him, delighted with himself. But we'll definitely come to Dessers. We definitely will. Before we go any further, just a quick point or two. Tickets for our live show, the end of season live show, is on Friday the 31st of May. I can now officially say it's the Friday after the cup final that we are involved in. We will be at the Loudoun, 7:30 to 10, do our live show, our end of season review, talk about different things as before we get ourselves prepped and hunkered down as we go into the summer. Tickets are £10. Tickets are still available. You can scan the QR code that is on the screen right now, or you can go to the link that will be in the description for this podcast. Very much looking forward to seeing all of you there who have bought tickets already. And as I say, there is still a few left. Don't hang about. Make sure you get them, and we'll share a beer with you and talk all things Rangers at our end of season live show. So only one place to start tonight, gentlemen, and it of course is the victory over Hearts at Hampden to secure us a Scottish Cup final place against Celtic. So yeah, a D9 double really. But before we come into the game itself, Ryan, just the impact of you think this win will have. I think it was critical for Rangers to get a win. I honestly wasn't expecting Rangers to show up and play the best football I've seen them play all season. After the week that we've had, it was highly unrealistic to believe that that was going to be the case. But a win was crucial. And I think a win, even in 90 minutes, was crucial, because if we don't and we stumble across the line, and even if we had fought, kind of fell at the last hurdle and didn't get that game across the line and secure ourselves a space in the final, it was a season ender, mate, right there and then. So your thoughts on the impact the win will have?
I totally agree with you in terms of if we didn't get the result, it would have been season over for me anyway. I know there's optimistic people out there that are hoping for a kind of helicopter Sunday moment, but it would have been season over for me, Carney, if we hadn't won on Sunday. I expected us to win. I think you could tell we went through that lull, that bad spell with the results we had without no winning three games, I think it was. It was horrible. But I did say in the pod on Friday, I was like, Rangers will get out of this. They will play themselves out. It will come. I don't think we're at the desperate points that we were under Michael Beale, where it was just shut the gates and start again kind of thing. I think it was more we need to play ourselves out this. It needs to be get a win under the belt, get it quickly. Thankfully, we had this game on Sunday. It was for me a routine win, but I'll credit them. I think they played quite well at times. I thought they played some nice football. The pitch suited them. Todd Cantwell stepped up, which he needs to do more often, but you know what? It's a starting block for him. I thought he did a really good game. I know going to individuals, and there was a freshness at the back as well, Carney, which was needed. I called for it in the blog last week, and I called for it on Friday, that Rangers had to split two of the players up, two of the main leaders up on Sunday, and just show a bit of intent going forward. Just freshen things up at the back, I think, and Clont did it. So in terms of that, I was very happy. And I thought Rangers were good for it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Rangers were good for it as well. I really do. I think it was, I called it before I left the house on Sunday. I said, I just want a routine 2-0 win. Not really any dramas, no any really controversy behind the game. Rangers to win the game, for us to be in the final, and we kind of move on from there and get ourselves ready for the split fixtures, which is kind of what transpired. Jamie, what's your thoughts on the importance of the win? It was just crucial for us to keep the fire that has been turned down slightly on this season, but it was still important for us to win to make sure that we were going to be in a final come the end of the season.
Yeah, boys, I mean, I'm much like you. I thought it was fairly routine in the end. I mean, I think getting out there and getting an early goal helps. We spoke about on the pod multiple times about how we don't start games well. Coming off the back of two wins in eight and two very poor performances and results in the league, it just needed to be a win in any way, shape or form. But I agree with Ryan. I think the last time was a while ago where we've been able to come on here, and I'm sure we'll get onto it, and discuss individual performances and players making the team better. And that's what happened on Sunday. And I think overall, good performance. Not our best, but definitely not our worst. But it's just good to get in the final. And as you say, mate, just keep the season alive and get into that Scottish Cup final at the end of May.
Yeah, I think there was improvements in individuals, and I think collectively as a team, I do think it was better overall. Ryan makes a good point. The pitch probably suits us a lot better. A kind of wide open pitch kind of lets us exploit spaces. And yeah, it was just a fairly routine win. Ryan, you mentioned it. There was the biggest news to come from the starting 11 was the fact that Conor Goldson didn't start and Balogun came in. Since the game, Clement's obviously made comment on it and said that he'd intended to do it on the Wednesday versus Dundee. However, Balogun wasn't feeling well and Conor Goldson had been looking a wee bit tired. I'm reading between the lines, mate. I don't think you drop somebody of Conor Goldson's stature within this team. And by that, I mean, he's been there all the time. When he's been fit, he has played. He's not missed a game if he hasn't been fit or there hasn't been an injury or an underlying problem or whatever it may be. I think Clement is protecting him. Don't get me wrong. And because he will play again this season. There's absolutely zero doubt. He will definitely play again at some point. But I thought it was a massive, massive call to bring Balogun in, and the big man strode it on Sunday.
Yeah, Balogun's a good player. I said when we re-signed him, I said I think that's quite a good signing because he knows it up here. he very really lets us down. He is blood and thunder. One of my favourite games Balogun played was the game. Do you know, I don't know if he threw it or not. We might have got beat, so it wasn't a favourite game, but I know we did. I think we won it, and he played right back. Tavernier was injured. It was just after COVID, I think.
Aye, Hollander scored. Hollander scored.
Aye. Did we win that game?
1-0.
Aye, we did. 1-0. Gerard. That game, Gerard, I remember beating.
Gerard had COVID, mind. He was watching for his couch.
That was it. That was it. Well done, Jamie. Good memory. That's right. Aye. That was my favourite game of Balogun's, because we were all terrified getting into the game thinking Maeda, Kyogo, whoever, some rapid Japanese player was on the wing, was going to run him ragged, and Balogun had him in his back pocket. He was brilliant that game. So you know what you're getting from him. He gives you 100%. He's professional. He's fit as a fiddle. He knows up here. So I really worry about Leon Balogun. It's usually the person who's next to him that I worry about. But that had to be done, Carney. I said it on Friday that I wanted to see a change. Did I think he would drop James Tavernier and Conor Goldson both on a semi-final? No, I didn't. Did I think he would drop one of them? Probably not, Carney. I didn't think he would drop one of them. I thought he'd probably just stick with them, and maybe that would come this Sunday. But I don't believe Clement was going to drop him last Wednesday. I think maybe this is a thing that he's probably felt let down by the performances. But you know, I was thinking about Conor Goldson Sunday, Carney. I don't think I texted the chat about this. The amount of games he's played for Rangers over the past circa 8 years, is it, boys? 8 seasons. He must be exhausted. And I know we say, oh, he gets paid enough money, and oh, but he's a professional footballer. Mentally, that guy must be drained, because he's got 50, 60 games a season for us. Yeah. The guy must be absolutely exhausted. And do you know what? It might be a really good thing for him to just have two or three games out, just sit out and then reassess it. Does he come back and feel refreshed? He's not the type of guy that I expect to come to Clement and say, do you know what, I'm tired. I don't think he's that kind of guy. So for Conor Goldson and for Rangers, I think that freshness and that call was a very good call by Clement. And yes, Big Balogun had a great game.
But he was. Big Balogun was superb. And I think that there's always an element, Jamie, of like players playing themselves out of form. And I think he was probably rewarded that opportunity because he's been poor for weeks. It's not as if it's just over the last couple of games. He has been poor for quite a bit. His form really did drop off. But I think another thing that Balogun added on Sunday was his composure. And see the guy's recovery. See when he makes a mess or something, or he's misread something. See his recovery to get back him when he's tackled. I don't think we have a centre half that does that. I don't think Suter can do that. And I think Balogun is just, he's so composed. And I think there's always an element of calm that will probably spread across the team, where they go, Big Balogun's there, we'll probably be all right, because he's still cool as a cucumber. But you never really see him getting animated. But to come out of the cold the way that he did, to come into a big game like that, which is a big game, let's be honest, for Rangers, it was a massive game on Sunday. I thought his performance was superb.
Like, I mean, Balogun's never let us down. We had this conversation, as Ryan said, there towards the start of the season when he came back. And the majority of us on here said, it's a shrewd signing. It's a brilliant signing. He knows the club. He knows the majority of the players that are there. He knows how to get the job done. Very rarely has that guy started for us and had a bad game. You talk about recovery speed. There was one that he was filling in for Tav, because obviously, as we know, Tav likes to get forward. Clement likes his fullbacks to get forward. But there was one that he came in and just he made up the ground expertly from the centre back position. And that's exactly what you want. And that's why I think at times Tav has looked even more exposed, because Goldson has been absolutely knackered. I just wish on the whole that, because I think Goldson started looking a wee bit shaky around the Motherwell game, I just wish on the whole Clement might have made this decision a wee bit earlier, because whenever I've seen Balogun play, especially with Suter as well, the partnership that they've had at centre-back has been faultless. The one game that sticks out to me is the 3-0 game at Hibs earlier on the season as well. And when everyone was saying, oh, Gold, that's Goldson injured, and oh, what are they going to play like? They breezed it. But you're right, Scott. He's got calmness personified. The big man just knows how to get through a game, and that's age and wisdom. And really, for me, he's, for the last 5 games, he's the first name of the team sheet for the rest of the season, because he brings that assured nature to his play. And he knows how to try and get over the line as well when it comes to winning league titles.
He's definitely done himself no harm. I don't believe that he has, and he was also close to becoming that thing that Rangers fans do, where we make players better because they've not played in a while, and we always think that they're going to be the kind of this kind of second coming. But the performance, I thought it was superb. I really did. I thought he was great. I thought he was what we needed at the back, and it really did work. It honestly really did work. Ryan, in terms of going forward, is this a And look, and I know we're Rangers fans, and we like to read into everything maybe a wee bit too much and blow things out of proportion. I can't see it any other way, though, the more I've thought about it, and it's been a few days since the game. This is a warning call for the rest of that team, for the guys that think that they're going to start week in, week out, no matter what. Dropping Conor Goldson for arguably the biggest game of our season to keep it on track anyway, or keep some element of the train on the rails, to make a call like that, the rest of the team must have sat up and went, he's not playing big corner.
Yeah, I would have. And I think Goldson always coming across as quite an honest guy. And he's obviously had a few interviews where he's been called out. That one always sticks in your mind, where he came out and kind of spoke about the mentality of some of the players and saying the game was over at half time or whatever. But he is quite an honest guy, heart in the sleeve kind of player. But I think he would have been shocked at that on Sunday. I think when he's seen the timesheet or he was told about it on Saturday or whenever, however it works for them, I think he would have been a wee bit shocked and a wee bit pissed off. I think he would have hoped that he could play so out of this kind of form, and he will think he's the best player for the team. That's probably the first time, I'm pretty sure it is the first time, Conor Goldson has ever been dropped. He's always made the team. He's always been first start, unless he's been injured. I think it was under the Gerrard's title win that he played 60 games or something like that. I can't remember, but I remember he broke some record anyway. But I think that would come as a shock, and it's a good shock, Carney, because I keep going on, we need to break this mould. I don't want to go down the negative route of this, but I need to break the mould of this. These two players are constantly in this team, no matter what their performance is. Shouldn't matter if they've got an armband or don't have an armband or a vice captain or the Rangers fan. It doesn't matter what they are. If you're not performing to the standard we require, you don't play the next game. You're only as good as your last game. So Conor Goldson needs to play, so back into this team now. Do I think he will? Yeah, he probably will. He'll be back in the team. I agree with you. But just now, the way things are, Clement called it right for me. The Rangers defence played well. Balogun, for me, had the play of the year in Scotland in his back pocket. He didn't create much for him, but he still defended very, very well against a really good striker.
Yep.
And you don't change that. It's a winning formula now. It's a winning formula. Yes, it's only one game, but it's a semi-final, and we kept a clean sheet, and you don't change that. And that's the defence I would go with on Sunday.
Yeah, look, that's probably my next point that it brings me on to, Jamie, is what do you see happening now at centre-half? I thought Suter was solid for the first half. I thought there was a period in the second half where he looked very, very shaky. I do think he was sold down the river with one of the passes from Sterling after I've watched the game back. I don't think Sterling did him any favours, but he still looked a wee bit uneasy, a wee bit nervy. I don't mind Suter. Maybe a lot of people shocked that he played left centre half instead of right, but it's probably don't fix something that isn't broken. And the fact that Suter's been decent enough at left centre half, so he probably thought don't change that. Just let him continue to develop there. But what do you see happening going forward? Do you think there's going to be a rotation between the centre halves now? Me for one, I quite like a settled centre half pairing. It's an old school thing, I think, that's been kind of drilled into me when I've been younger. But you're looking at Davies coming back. I don't know if Davies has got a sniff of getting into this team. I really don't know what Clement really thinks of him. He has mentioned that he's come off the back of an injury and he could be coming back. But I think Balogun, Goldson and Suter, I think it's right now, as I say, with the games being almost weekly now, apart from one, I think it suits Balogun for the running for this season, and the guy looked ready compared to what we've seen on Sunday.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've obviously just waxed lyrical about Balogun. In terms of Suter, I agree with you. Second half, I think you're right. He did get caught short with that ball. I think he recovered pretty well. First half, he was faultless beside Balogun. And yeah, apart from that, but Suter in the bad performances that we've had, he's still been trying to come out with the ball, and I think he still looked quite assured. So yeah, I wouldn't be dropping him. And as Ryan said, like, can he change our winning formula? Like, we've just went away and had a convincing win on Sunday, so you need to keep that background that needs to be settled. I mean, you look at the season that we won the league, Goldson and Hollander, that the reason that we broke records and had so many clean sheets was because it was a settled backline, a settled partnership, and there was a chemistry between them there. So I can't see it being changed, and we don't have Europe and we don't have Thursday, Sunday to play anymore. So I think, come on, I think he's perfectly justified now. He's perfectly justified. He dropped Goldson because he could see that he had put in a few substandard performances. And the problem with Goldson is as well, he's set a very high bar for himself. And when he doesn't perform, you really notice. So no, I think going forward, mate, over the next five games, it's that same back line. We're hopefully Ridvan back in at left back.
That's the hope. We'll come on to the man of the moment, really. Apart from maybe Balogun, the call to play Balogun maybe took the shine off of Mr. D9. The Nigerian nightmare, the enigma, whatever you want to call him, Ryan. There is no getting away from it, mate. See that first goal? It's a beauty. It's a real beauty. It's a trick that he tries all the time, but when it comes off, that's a fantastic finish. It really is. The work from Tavernier there, not to give up when most thought, I think, it was going to be a foul. McLean wasn't for giving Rangers anything on Sunday, and again, criticising referees after a win, just to make my point that McLean wasn't giving Rangers anything on Sunday. I thought he was terrible. But Tav doesn't give up, gets the ball to Cantwell. Cantwell gets it to Dessers, a partnership that seems to have kind of come out of nowhere all of a sudden, because he was obviously involved in the second goal. First goal, brilliant finish. Second goal, Cantwell very unselfish to lay it off to Dessers the way that he did. Dessers' first shot, maybe not the greatest, but again, he shows the composure to put it away to make it two. You're number nine for Rangers. Your striker has scored two goals to get you through to a final. That's how football should be. I'm going to read these stats that Jamie sent in. I'm sorry that I don't know where it came from. It was a forwarded message and it came on. So I think it was the Rangers review. I think this is. I'm sorry if it isn't. If it is your piece, please tell me and I'll make sure I give you credit for it. But I don't know what it is, but it is all true anyway. Taking out the years in the lower leagues where goals were a whole lot easier to come by. His tally is only bettered by a single season totals of Alfredo Morelos, Kenny Miller, Chris Boyd, Nacho Novo and Dado Pozzo over the last two decades. With six games left to play, five in the league and a cup final against Celtic, he's already scored more goals than Colak, Roof, Defoe ever did in one season. Over the past 20 years, he's outscored Daniel Cousins, Jean-Claude Darcheville, Peter Lovenkranz, Shota Avaladze and Michael Moles, and many other Rangers strikers in that time frame. Nobody's saying that Dessers is the second coming of Ali McCoist, but he only needs one more to move ahead of the best season Nikita Jelovic ever had at Ibrox. Ryan, when you start to talk about him like that, he starts to get his name in among strikers that we idolised. Let's not lie, there's a few of them in there that we absolutely idolised. What I will say is I don't think his return's been enough, and I don't think it's, but I also think you don't have to be on one side of the other here either. I can understand these stats, I can understand how good they look on paper, but my eyes don't lie at times. There's times where I'm like, you're not very good at football because you're missing absolute sitters. So he's an enigma, and I think that is the perfect way to sum him up. But is the biggest frustration with fans of the amount we paid for him? We haven't seen the return that we would like, because he probably should be nearer 30 goals than he should be 20.
Oof.
It's a difficult question. It is.
I don't know how to answer this, because it seems to be a weekly argument I have in my own head that, do you like him? Is he all right? And you're too harsh on him? Is this just you being a Rangers dad because we're not winning the league? Everybody's shite.
But it also makes it more difficult as well, because he seems like quite a nice guy. I wish he was a wee bit of a prick, and then I think it would make it easier for him to go, no, no. But I mean, his stats don't lie, but my eyes are telling me something else.
He's a very nice guy, and as I said in the chat, he's got lovely eyes as well, so let's give him credit for the wee gems. Let's go to serious stuff. His stats don't lie. He's back. He's, what's he at, Jamie? 19, is it, I think? 19 goals this season?
Thanks so, mate. Aye, 19
goals,
but,
right?
Yeah,
and all competitions, 19 goals. If you said at the beginning of the season you have a striker that scores you 19 goals with five games to go, circa six games to go, if you take the final and whatever, you'd probably be happy. strikers take penalties as well. Don't forget that. You've got Jelovic in there. You've got, who else did you say? Darswell, he took penalties. Boyd took penalties. Nobody's getting the ball off James Tavernier when it comes to a penalty. So Dessers ain't taking penalties. I think he's took one. I remember him take one penalty. I seem to remember that. But anyway, so he doesn't take penalties. He's come from open play. So there's no taking away from him. There's a lot of frustration with the fans because of how the season looks to be going. So he's going to get it in the neck because he misses umpteen chances. Like, he literally, he just, all I say is, when I'm watching him, he sometimes looks as if, do you ever play the PlayStation, you press the wrong button, you'll press the square button instead of the shoot button. I sometimes think that's what it looks like, as if you pressed the wrong button in the PlayStation controller. But then he comes out with a goal, like the first goal on Sunday, where it is cool, calm, composed, finesse finish, where you're just like, that is top drawer. That is absolutely top drawer. In the box, to have that calm, drop the shoulder, send the boy to the shops, and then put it by the keeper like that is top drawer, Carney. But then you know what you get after that for the next, you could get another 10 missed opportunities after that. He is an enigma. He's our enigma. We've got to get back behind him. Trend of the season, like I've said, since January. I don't know what you do with this boy. Do you then bring in your striker, say it's Shankland, whoever, somebody who you think is better, and then you say try and beat him, or do you play the two of them? Has he ever played as a striker himself before? Is this new to him? There are so many questions with Cyril Dessers that you could do a podcast itself, but it will boil down to Chris Boyd won the league title, Darswell won the league title, Jelovic won the league title, all these players won the league title, and that's what it will come down to. Rangers fans, we are brutal, myself included, and it will come down to that with Cyril Dessers. If he leaves in the summer and we don't win the league, he will be a fraud. We'll slate him. It's horrible, but we'll slate him. If for a miracle we do win that league, he'll go down in history as, he was a great striker when you think about it. It's the nature of us as Rangers fans. We are absolutely brutal, and I just hope he keeps scoring. I want to see Jamie with his cardboard cut out. I want to see him laugh in my face. I want to get it tight in the 31st of May for people in the Loudon, because I wrote him off, and do you know what? Good on him. And I just hope it continues, and he just misses a few less chances, that's all.
Yeah, I think people that are frustrated with him are quite right to be, because I've been there, and I've had the same battle in my head as well, where I'm going, I know I need to back him, but I'm still looking at him going, you're dog meat, man. Like, you're not very good at all. But then again, that he does Sunday, and I'm going, but Jamie, are we in danger of lowering our standards in terms of what we expect from a Rangers striker? Because see what the chances he has had, he should have scored a lot more goals. But you're still looking at what I thought we had at the start of this season, and the fact that, look, Kamar Roof has been missing in action. He's made out of chocolate. There's no chance that he can survive a serious tackle without getting injured. They can't survive walking down the stairs without getting the chance of getting a serious injury. Danilo, you can't really blame. It's a bit of a horror injury that's kept him out, but the players haven't been there. It's a difficult one. I know he's your man, mate, and I know we've had a kind of laugh and a joke and that, but in all seriousness, he isn't going to be the Rangers number nine. I don't think he can be the Rangers number nine going forward, but he's not half contributed, and he's probably proved a lot of people wrong. But I think the price tag that hangs over his head will always come back and haunt him for the chances when he misses them.
Well, I mean, Ronald de Boer actually warned us what he was going to be like. He did call it, and he said he's going to be an absolute bagsman. He's going to score loads of goals, and he's going to be an 8 or 9 out of 10, or else he's going to be really, really bad. There's no middle ground. I mean, yeah, it's been a running joke with us on the podcast, me backing him up. The only reason I just chose to have a glass half full approach with Dessers, because when it came to Danilo getting injured, we literally had no one. So I just think you've got to back a guy. You have to back him. The only reason that I became outspoken on him last Friday on the podcast was because I'm backing up Ryan, and I'm backing up a lot of fans I spoke to that are really just done with the guy, is because the two chances he had at Ross County, that if he scores those, it's a different look to the end of the season, definitely. So in that sense, I can see it from both angles. I can see it from the frustrated fan angle, because I'm a frustrated fan as well, but I can also see it from whoever wrote that really great piece there, because he has silenced doubters. He has came up with goals. His first finish on Sunday was absolutely brilliant. Just the finesse to turn back inside and finish that and get us on the scoreboard early, as we were saying as well, was brilliant. So in the long run, I don't see him being our number nine. I back what Ryan's saying. I can see him staying and fighting for his place, or being one of these players that comes off the bench in a game or two and cup games and things like that, and he'll do his turn. But I mean, it's glaringly obvious to see that we need a number nine that starts, that can score in big games, we're not going to feel let down by. He is at times the easy whipping boy. He is, because the frustration is in the top end of the park when there's glaring chances that we need to finish and we've not finished. So he's a bit of a scapegoat in that sense. But yeah, I would like to see him still at the club next year. And obviously, I would love to see him just finish the season strongly. Yeah, and prove a few doubters wrong. Because as you say, mate, he seems like a nice guy too. But there's a definite player in there. And you just think to yourself, if he can get that level of consistency in scoring, I mean, it's so obvious to most fans what his issue is. He tries to walk the ball into the goal at times. Like, just
he tries to turn round six or seven times before hitting a shot. Just hit the ball. Just hit
exactly. But as soon as you see the whites of the goal, right, you hit a shot. It's pretty much taught to you when you're playing football when you're young. So I think, I don't know. I think in the long run, I think if his conversion rate is higher up, I still think we've got a good player on our hands. I really do, and I'll stand by that. But yeah, we're gonna sign a number nine in the summer. But it's just if he can up his standard next season, and that can only be good for us as well. So we'll wait and see.
Absolutely, and I think you've got to praise the guy's mentality as well, because he's a human being. He knows what people are saying about him in the media and in social media and whatever else. He's well aware of what's happening, and he's just continues to keep going. He really does, and I think no matter what, you're going to have to back the guy to the end of the season anyway, because by the looks of the brief performance that we've seen, or the brief appearance we've seen with Kamal Roof, he doesn't look anywhere near the level of striker we need to contribute for the rest of this season. So it's going to be Dessers, but credit to him for Sunday. I thought he was great. Before we go on, and we'll talk about the cup final, we'll briefly touch on that before we finish up. I want to speak about Diamondi. Now, I'll have my honest opinion on him. He frustrates me at times. I probably forget that he's quite young. Again, I'm aware of the price tag attached to him. There is still a lot of development to come with him. I do get frustrated with him. However, Ryan, what I will say is he made a hell of a difference to our midfield. And I do think for the style of play that Clement wants to play, I think Diomande is the only number eight that can play the specific role that Clement wants him to do, if that makes sense. He's been bought specifically for the role that Clement sees a number eight being, if that makes sense. Lawrence has come in and tried it, and he done okay at it. Dowell, I don't think's really the answer, but I think the difference that he made, and credit to him for coming back after getting his nails done, I mean, getting an operation on his thumb, is credit to him. But I did think he made a massive difference in the middle of the pitch on Sunday.
I thought he had a really good game. Carly. I think he finally breaks the mould of this. But Clement, you can see Clement's done it with his style of play, but see the mould of that we've all seen of the side pass. We've seen it for, I don't know how many years now, where it gets passed across the pitch, just safe passes across the pitch. Then it gets built up and then it passes across the midfield again. What did we used to call it? I'm glad we've not mentioned this for a while, the horseshoe football.
The horseshoe.
He breaks that mould for me. He is constantly looking for the pass forward. He's looking to thread it to the 10, whether it's Cantwell or whoever. We increase our up the kind of the ability levels up front and sign the striker we want to sign and a couple of attack midfielders, whoever it may be. I think he will be a huge player for us. I think there is something serious in that boy. I'll put it out there just now. I'll put my colours to the mast. It's an early shout. I think he's got it to move again. I see something in him, Carney. And I see the side where you're talking about, there's a rawness from him. And he's naive at times and he can lose possession a lot. But there's something else I see in this boy where he just looks maybe as if he's got something different. And I like him. I think we've got to watch what we're doing with him and not kind of burn them out too much. And like I said, I had my concerns about the Old Firm game where I thought, does he get the expectations yet? This is a huge move from where he's came from to what he's expected to do now in front of that crowd. That's a huge step up, Carney. I was worried about the Old Firm game, and much to my oldest son's disgust, I thought he had a good game against Celtic. I did. I thought he was decent. I thought he put the boot in. He lost the ball a lot again. But I just thought he had a good game. He was trying to do the right things, and I'm pleased with him. I'm pleased how he's coming. I think we'll see the best of him next year, but I'm pleased how he's coming on, mate, because put the performance that he did on Sunday, his age, like I say, and he's only in the door a couple of months. Nah, I'm confident there's something in that boy that he can go again, and that'll be the benefit of us if he goes, what, we talking 4 million or something if we finalise the deal.
Yeah. I think we have to. Finally. Yeah. He will be a Rangers player next year. Yeah.
Well, I think that'll be good business. I see potential, and I see a different type of midfielder in there who's not shying away, who's not happy to play the safe pass. He's trying to make things happen, and it's let's hope it's a Clement signing, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, I just think he suits the exact role, as I say, that Clement wants that number 8 to do. Jamie, I also don't think it's a coincidence that Cantwell had one of his best games we've seen in a long time because of the work that Diamondi will do behind him. I think it frees Cantwell up from not tracking back, but he doesn't have to worry about it so much because he knows where Diomandi's going to be, the area of the pitch he's going to be in. And I honestly don't think it's a coincidence. Cantwell needs the ball passed to him so Cantwell can turn and go, or played in front of him so he can turn and go, run at defences, cause a bit of chaos. And I think twice or three or four, maybe even more than that, but definitely twice I can think of, Diamondi dropped his shoulder instead of turning to play out to Sterling on the left or turning to play to Tav on the right. As Ryan mentioned, he broke that line, he beat his player, got himself the half yard he needed to play the pass to Cantwell. Cantwell turned and ran and he was away. I think he's going to be crucial for Rangers probably the rest of this season and into next.
He's one of these players that he's always looking for the ball, and we've been missing that for years because a lot of our midfielders have went hiding. On Sunday was a classic example of always looking for the ball. There was one, I think it was in the, was it in the first half? In the first half, he took the ball from, I think it was either Suter or Goldson, and he just dropped his shoulder, turned on it. But Cantwell, because he knows that he can find him, he was finding pockets of space just in front of the Hearts back four, which he's not been doing because he'd been dropping too deep. But yeah. I just think, I think on the whole, Diamandi's been very impressive. He was always going to have games where he didn't look that great because he's settling in a new country and a new culture and things like that. So you've got to give him time. I agree with Ryan. I think next season is going to be a big season for him. In my opinion, I think him and Lundstrom do have a good partnership. I would like more of a sort of destroyer type next to Diamandi. So just to give him the ball and let him do his thing. Almost like Sterling. If Sterling wasn't so good out wide, I'd be like, take Lundstrom out and put Sterling in there. But I just think, I think we found a good player. I know there was some folk were up in arms about the fee and whether or not we should have spent that on obviously a recognised number 9 to try and get us over the line this season. But I think you've got to trust Clement, and you've got to trust his vision for the squad. And he's bought him as an investment. Obviously, it goes back to the way in which we're handling the player trading model now. So buying Diamandi in, you can see that he's going to go from strength to strength. I think he's going to be a good player for us.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, mate.
Can I just touch on what Jamie said there? He makes a good point about, in terms of the fee for Diamandi, and I've seen this before, and I've seen it with other players as well, and some fans moaning about the fee for Diamandi, and we could have spent it elsewhere. But there's this kind of general consensus with Rangers fans that we shouldn't pay 4 million for a player unless he's top. Mm-hmm. Like, things have moved on since like the early 2000s. Like, although we struggled for 10 years down the lower divisions, that inflation's happened, and £4 million for a player like Diamandi at this moment in time looks value for money. And it's the same with kind of Ridvan as well. I remember Rangers fans moaning about the price we played for Ridvan. See, for an under-21 Turkish internationalist, that's kind of what you're paying. You know, he's playing in the Champions League for Besiktas and up there challenge for, like, it's kind of, I think there's just a reality check with Rangers fans in terms of how much money. If you want that level of player to get to where that lot are, you kind of need to pay. You need to put your hand in your pocket for it. So it was just to pick up on what Jamie said. I think it needs a wee bit of reality check, Rangers fans, in terms of if you want that type of player, we probably have to pay that type of money.
I completely agree. I do. I think sometimes we are kind of nervous about the money that we're going to need to spend. See, if we are spending $8 million on a player, I expect them to be pretty bloody good, and I expect them to be ready and to do exactly what they've been bought to do. But $4 million on as part of the player trading is probably about right. Anywhere between kind of 2 and 5, probably. 5 obviously being kind of the higher end of that kind of model, that buying that player with a sell-on potential. But I think even now, if an English club was to come in for Diomande just now, you're probably talking £5, £6, £7 million anyway. So even just based on what we've seen from him so far, so already I think you're probably going to get your money back and maybe more. So no, I 100% agree. I think sometimes we need to maybe believe in the board and believe in Clement and trust that he's going to do the right thing. Because so far with Clement, he's picked well. He has picked well with the players that he's decided to bring in. Just before we finish up, Jack Butland is tremendous, and I'm terrified that he's going to leave in summer, so I'm not going to talk about that just now. We'll wait until the end of the season before we break down that more, but Butland is just immense. He really is just incredible. Two good saves in that game, and it's I still now to this day, I kind of beggars belief that we bought someone that's been able to fill the boots of Alan McGregor just as easy as that. So absolute credit to Bolton, but I don't want to talk about it because I'm getting all upset because I think he's going to go, because I think somebody's going to buy him and take him away from us. So we'll speak about, before we finish up, the first Old Firm Scottish Cup final in 22 years. I mean, 22 years. That's a crazy start when I heard it. And of course it is, but it's one of those things that you don't think about. But Jamie, 22 years since the last one. Club at 22 are hoping to do a day where we're all going to be together on that day. Are the stars aligning, do you think?
I think the stars are definitely aligning, mate. Come on. So we were actually chatting about it on the WhatsApp, weren't we, in the last... The last Scottish Cup final was the Lovenkrantz final, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Highly regarded as, like, definitely one of my favourite Rangers games of all time, the Barry Ferguson free kick. So, look, yeah. let's hope it's a classic like that. But, yeah, no, I was totally staggered by that stat. I thought, there's surely been an Old Firm Cup final. But, nah, it's been a lot of semis recently, hasn't there? So, yeah, it's good to get in a final again.
Yeah, Ryan, it almost beggars belief that it's been that long. We've had players like Avaladze and Lovenkrantz in that team, and that, and Barry Ferguson was still running the middle of the pitch. And I suppose that final was either the Ferguson final or the Lovenkrantz final. I think Lovenkrantz is always going to be remembered for the header, but that was very much a game that Barry Ferguson decided the Rangers were going to win that day, and it's probably one of the best midfield performances I've ever seen from a Rangers midfielder. But 22 years, mate, I'm not going to lie, I feel quite old.
You're telling me I'll get a big I remember being at that game, and it was probably one of the last times I was actually in the West Stand. I was up quite at the back, so not the greatest seat. Obviously we won, so it was a brilliant seat. But if you'd said to me that day I'll be 22 years to play them in the final again, I'd have been like, whatever, absolutely whatever. But yeah, it's a reflection on where we've been and how we've struggled. But listen, it's a tasty one, isn't it? I mean, the thought of playing them the last day, that's got to be an incentive for these players. It's got to be an incentive for these players, because no matter what happens, whether it goes away, whatever way the league goes, right, if you can win that Scottish Cup, it does sour things. I've been there before. I've seen Rangers win the league and lose the Scottish Cup. It sour things, and that's what we've got to look at. We've just got to, we've got to give our all and hope somebody can do their turn in this league. But we've got to think about winning that Scottish Cup and at least having a smile on our faces in the summer, because it would be great. And touching back on that game, this won't shock you. Barry Ferguson stepping up to take that free kick. And I remember going, oh, Barry, away you go. You've got to take everything. Lighting the guy. Boom. Not bag. There you go. Thank you, Barry.
So you were a Rangers dad 22 years ago as well?
Oh, I was a Rangers dad in my teens, mate. Don't worry about that. I had that base coupled. So it always surprised you I was that guy in the stand. But what a final that was. And Lovenkrantz went in the last minute. Oh, my days. Ecstasy. I would give that again. Big Dessers in the last minute, boys. Have a think about that one.
The pigeon again in the last minute, mate, I don't give a monkey's what it is in the last minute. I couldn't care less. I wasn't at that game. That was probably just before I started to getting guaranteed tickets for kind of every final. I remember the mad scramble. My dad got a ticket for it, and he's like, I can't get another ticket, and he wasn't going to go. And I remember saying to him, Dad, you need to go. I was like, you're going to need to go. I was like, go to the game. And he was in the south stand upper, and he said, all I remember was the ball bouncing as Lovenkrantz headed into ground, and he thought it was going up over the top of the bar, and he said the next thing you knew the whole stand was absolutely bouncing up. My dad does see my dad at the club deck and that, when it's like everybody's doing the bounce at the club deck, my dad wasn't like it at all. He's like, it's moving, stadium's moving. I'm like, Dad, you're gonna be okay. And he's like no, that place was absolutely bouncing. And he still says that's one of the best finals he's ever been to. I think it's just crazy to think it's that long ago. The good news about it, Jamie, is that the SFA seem like they're going to stand their ground and stand strong. I heard it on Heart and Hands Daily Update today that it's going to clash with the FA Cup yep. final, the Manchester Derby. But the SFA are seeming to hold strong, and it will remain a 3 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday. That is how the season should finish. Rangers should finish in a cup final, the last game of the season, at 3 o'clock on the Saturday at Hampden. It's just what is meant to happen in life.
A Saturday 3 o'clock. I mean, the only reason that they have them early is because they think everybody's going to be boozed up. And that everyone gets up at 7 o'clock.
It doesn't make a difference.
So no, I'm with you, mate. That's how professional football's meant to be played, on a Saturday at 3 o'clock. So no, it's great to be going out with that eye on Saturday at 3. Perfect way to end the season.
Very much looking forward to it. I can say that now because we're in the final. By the time it comes to it, I'll be terrified. I'll be terrified like I always am before an Old Firm. That will do us for tonight, gentlemen. We'll be back on Friday with Club Live to look ahead to the St Mirren game and the start of the split fixtures. Thank you for joining me, Mr Ryan Haymarch.
Thank you, mate. I enjoyed that. Good to see you as well, boys. And that's us back into league business. So I will see you Friday. Looking forward to it.
Well, you're not on holiday on Friday, no? You sure?
No, but we are on the countdown. I think I'm 5 or 6 weeks to the next one, but I'll keep up to date. Don't worry.
okay. You can keep me up to date. I've still not received your request. I've still not even received your request for New York, mate. You're definitely docked wages, that's for sure. Jamie, thanks very much, mate.
Well, mate, I'll let everyone know that I've actually bought some of Ryan's holidays off him. I'm away to Lisbon on Friday, and I'm not back to the fall on Friday, so I'm going to miss a few pods. But yeah, Ryan very generously let me have some of his holidays, so thanks a lot, family. That's brilliant.
That's very kind of you, Ryan, I must admit. That's very kind of you. That is nice. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If you could please subscribe to the channel, like the video. If you would like to see more of us and you'd like to support the podcast, that would be much appreciated. You can join the channel as well. There's as little as 99p a month, and you can buy the podcast a coffee via buymeacoffee.com. All the links are in the description for this podcast and the live show. Please do come along. Very much looking forward to seeing as many of you there as possible. We guarantee we will have a good night, no matter the outcome of any game that we have left for the remainder of this season. You can be guaranteed that we'll have a good night. So yes, we'll speak to you on Friday. Enjoy the rest of your week. We are Club at 22, the Rangers podcast. Cheers, everybody.
Podcast Network.